Hey, y'all. What do y'all got going on over here?
We're selling lemonade for Jesus.
Awesome. Well, how much?
$10. No Evington cents.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all I have is $10. Can y'all make change?
Yeah.
All right. Thank y'all.
How much should we give him?
I don't know.
It's so confusing. Let's just give him that.
Okay. Here you go.
Thanks.
It's a play on words. Making change is hard. If you want to make change, you've got to make change. In case you haven't picked up on it yet, this series, Making Change, is going to be about generosity, and it's going to be about money. You see, let me just start with what I believe about us here. And really not just us, but people in general. I believe that most of us, in this room and outside of this room, most of us want to be generous. It's what I would call the Imago Dei effect. Imago Dei means image of God. Do you know that all of us, we're created in God's image? That's why every single person, regardless of their value, their intelligence, or anything else, every single person is equally worthy of respect because we all bear the image of God. And because we bear the image of God, the Bible tells us in the very first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning, God created mankind in his image, male and female. He created them. He made us in his image. And so we bear his image. That we bear the attributes, many of the attributes of God. Again, whether you even believe in God or not, you are made in his image. And God is a generous, generous God, as we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. Because he is generous, we have that impulse towards generosity in us. Let me give you some examples. If you see people lined up outside a convenience store for Powerball, you know, when it just gets to this crazy, just crazy big number, and a reporter will go and they'll interview people in a convenience store line, and something you see just about every time, when the reporter goes up and just picks any random person and says, hey, what are you going to do with all the winnings if you end up buying the winning ticket? What are you going to do with that? And almost every one of them will include in their answer what they're going to do, giving some of it away. That's that impulse towards generosity that we have from God, God's image in us. Now, that's just theoretical. We don't know if they do or not. My guess is probably people that win do give some of it away. But let me give you a different example. What happens every time a flood or a hurricane or a fire destroys someone's home? People, not just Christ followers, all kinds of people come in and immediately try to help them clean up and rebuild. It's that impulse towards generosity. One more example. What happens every spring here at Brazos Point Fellowship, when we collect our annual World Missions offering just to say thanks for what God's done for us, and we give all of it away. You know what happens every year, whether it's a good year financially for our church or kind of a down year financially for our church, every year we tend to give more every year, and this year was no exception. You guys gave $111,000 to World Missions offering, and we sent all that away to other people, other partners in the gospel who are planting hope and sending hope to people around the world. You do that every year. It's that impulse towards generosity. Well, in this month's message series, Making Change, I'm going to show you how to live generously with what you already have, with what you have. Now, some of you are so generous that I'm not going to tell you one thing you don't already know. You're going to know everything else. You're going to know all the principles, everything that the Bible says about it. You are going to know, and you're just going to sit here for the next few weeks going, that's true. That's right. It works. It's true. Some of you really want to be generous. But you're kind of afraid. You're afraid of what will happen if you follow your heart. Maybe you're nervous about the economy, and there's reason to be. But you're just nervous. I think when you see God's principles about generosity, I think it's going to ease some of your fears. Some of you, you're generous, but you don't have any idea how generous you actually can be, what your capacity for generosity is. And you're going to be amazed when you start seeing what the Bible says about how to manage your finances, how much more generous you can be than you already are. And if some of you are stingy, actually, I really think that's just a small amount here. I really do. I don't think this is a stingy church. But I would warn you, if you're one of those very few people that really are, let me just warn you, as you hear what the Bible says about generosity, be careful, because it may awaken that impulse towards generosity in you too. It's like, wait, what am I doing here? I want to help people. What happened? So just know that you were warned, okay? Why be generous? Why would we talk about this? Why would I want to arouse that impulse towards generosity? It's very simply because the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, depends on generosity. Listen, it takes generosity for a couple or family to leave where they live, to leave the people that they love, sometimes their family, and move to another city or maybe even another country because they feel God is calling them to go and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with people that they don't know yet. But God has put that impulse of generosity in them. It takes generosity to do that. It takes generosity to plant new churches in other places and to sustain churches like ours that plant churches. It takes generosity to do that as well. As you read through the New Testament, you'll see that the Apostle Paul, who was kind of the chief church planter that we read about in the New Testament, how he thanked people who supported him financially. He knew and he wanted them to know that he couldn't do what he was doing without people financially supporting what he was doing. So that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. But let me just say this, okay? I want to make a confession to you. I really do not like to preach about money. I avoided it the first 2 years of our church because I knew a lot of you don't like to hear us preach about money. I just didn't want to confuse things about following Jesus. But you know, other than the World Missions offerings, which we take up every spring, which we give all of that away, other than that, we've really only talked about money, money management, how to get out of debt, how to make the most of your money, just a handful of times over the last 22 years. So if you're sitting here thinking this morning, man, every time I come to this church, all I do is talk about money, well, that tells me that you haven't been here very much. We talk about a lot of things. You ought to come some more because we want to help you with your marriage like we did the marriage series. We want to help you with all kinds of things and your relationships. And so, but we want to help with money too because that's an important part of all of our lives. When we do talk at length about money, usually what we're talking about, and that would be included this time, usually it's talking about how to get out of debt, stay out of debt, and make the most of what you have so that you can embrace that generosity that you have an impulse towards. So you can embrace that generous impulse. And by the way, in addition to what we're going to be talking about for a few weeks here, we're going to be offering a course called Financial Peace University. We've done it before. We're going to be offering it. It's going to be on Thursday nights, and it's going to start in a few weeks, July 13th. And so that's going to start, and it'll go July 13th through August 17th. It'll be on Zoom. It'll be online, and it's going to be at 8 o'clock at night. So it will be after you put the kids in bed, after you clean up and put away the dishes, and then you can turn off the TV before the Astros blow yet another lead with the bullpen. And you just forget about that and then go get your money, your finances in control. So you can sign up for Financial Peace University just by going on to our BPF app if you have that, or just use the QR code on the seat back in front of you that you'll see there. Well, as I said, I don't like really to talk that much about money and giving unless I'm asking for someone or something else. And that's why I asked both church planters, both Stephen Searles and Joseph Castillo, to wait and don't ask for the financial support. Let me do it. And I'm going to do it in this series, but not today. What I want to do, I want to try to help us get the right mindset to build that foundation of generosity. And I want to start with this question. What are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with what you have right now? How are you handling that? How are you managing that? Are you in control of that, or is that in control of you? As your pastor, though, it's important for me to remind you, whether you're a Christ follower or not, something that God's Word tells us is that everything you have comes from God. Everything you have is a gift from God. You're not going to take it with you when you die. You'll leave it behind for somebody else, but ultimately it all belongs to God. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he understood this. He wrote a letter to all the Jewish Christians in the early church, and he said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. The psalmist tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. One of the biggest obstacles to overcome as we follow Jesus is this matter of ownership. And I want you to know, we're the receivers, not the givers. What we give from our abundance of what God has given us. Everything we have is God's. God owns it all. We're basically asset managers. That's what we are. We're asset managers of all we possess, like cars. Now, the Bible has a name for this. It calls us stewards. So the managing of the assets that we have is called stewardship. So a good steward takes care of their car. They change the oil. They keep the tires aired up. They take it in for repairs when necessary. They keep it clean. A good steward, a good asset manager, takes care of the place they live, whether they own it or rent it, whether it's a house or an apartment or whatever. That's what we are to do. We are managers of what has been given us. Let me tell you a story, share a story with you from the Bible that explains how this works, okay? If you have your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. If you're on your phone, just scroll down from the top, about two-thirds of the way down, till you get to Matthew. You might see a little mark that changes from Old Testament to New Testament. If you're using a print Bible like this, it's about three-fourths of the way through. It's the first book of what we call the New Testament. The first four books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four, we call them Gospels. They're good news stories. They're four different eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, his ministry, all the things that he taught us. We're looking at the first one, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Now, there's a story here that Jesus tells. If you've been a part of church for a while, you would recognize this is the parable of the talents. Now, let me define a couple of terms for you if you're not really familiar with stories in the Bible. A parable, Jesus told parables or short stories to emphasize and teach lessons and make points out of things. They're a fictitious story that he made up to make a good point. Parable of the talents, a talent, in this case, a lot of translations talk about what he was talking about, a talent. This was a weight measurement. It was not talking about our abilities, our gifts, or spiritual gifts, if you're familiar with that. This talent, in this case a talent, it was a monetary unit worth about 20 years of wages for a regular laborer. Okay, so a talent was a monetary measurement, 20 years. The Bible translation that we use, New International Version, it's a bit more easier to read, is New International Version doesn't even use that word talent to talk about this. They translate that word that was talent, they translate it bag of gold. Bag of gold. Each talent was a bag of gold or bags of gold. Just to be clear, what I want you to know is this parable is about money management. And it's also about the kingdom of God, the bigger picture of the kingdom of God. In this story, Jesus describes us as asset managers or stewards, okay? This is the second, if you're noticing as you open up your Bible, if you use a print Bible, you notice it's the middle of three different parables Jesus taught. And he was teaching about the kingdom of God. And he was warning us in each of these three parables to be ready for his return. Again, let me explain something if this is all new to you. Jesus came to earth. He came from heaven. He's always existed. But he came from heaven to earth. He lived a life of about 30 years. He died a sacrificial death to pay for our sins. Then he rose again to show he has power over death. He taught for a little while longer, a few weeks longer, and then he ascended into heaven, but he promised he's coming back someday. In these parables, he's talking about how we live in the in-between time. We're in that in-between time. But more specifically, with this parable, he told us what he expects us to do with our day-to-day lives. So let's look at this parable of the bags of gold. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Jesus, in telling this story, said, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave five bags of gold." How much money, how many years' labor would that be worth? 100 years. He gave him 100 years' wages. To one he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, 40 years, and to still another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, this story, Matthew wrote this in the Greek language. All the New Testament was written in the Greek language, which was the most common language in the known world across Asia, Europe, and Africa, was the Greek language. That's the most common one spoken. So the Bible is written originally in Greek. And that word for journey, apotameo, it implies the man would be going abroad. He would be leaving the country. And what that is trying to tell us, when Jesus said that, he went on a journey, it meant he was going to be gone a long time. So these servants were going to have a lot of time to work with all this money and do something with it. Now notice they were given different amounts, each according to his own ability. So the fact that according to his ability implied that the owner wanted them to do something with that money. Okay, there's a lesson in here, okay? We all have wealth to manage. As I said, we're asset managers. We all have wealth managers. Make the most of what you have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Make the most of what you do have. I want to help you with that, okay? Whether you have a six-figure income or you're barely scraping by, make the most of what you have. You probably won't be given more, according to this, until you make the most of what you have. So look at verse 16. Here's what happened with those guys. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once. Note that. Went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, even though they had plenty of time, the guy was going on a journey. He would be gone for a long time. Two of the three managers there, they went to work immediately. And as we'll see later, when the master returns, it really pleased him that they went to work and were so diligent in what they did. There's a lesson in that for us today. There's no time to waste. Please don't put off getting yourself in good shape, setting yourself free from being a slave to money or possessions or debt or whatever. Make the most of your finances now. That's what I want to help you with. Make the most of it. Listen, you put off hard choices to your own detriment. It doesn't get better when you put it off. Time has a way of flying when you're in debt, and you just kind of keep digging a hole and getting deeper and deeper. That no money down, no payments for 2 years. You ever done that? It's amazing how fast those 2 years come at you. And by the way, the whole time you're not paying any money on that 2 years, it's accruing interest. It's costing more and more. That whatever is a lot more when you have to start. You still have to pay the interest for having that. So look what happens here when the master came back. He was gone a long time, out of the country. Verse 19, after a long time, though, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The exact same scenario happens with the man who was given 2 bags of gold. He doubled it. The master was pleased. Come and share your master's happiness. Notice in verse 21, though, the change in status of these servants, these men who didn't waste the time and they worked to make the most of what they had. They went from being servants to being in charge. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. So what I want to do over the next 3 weeks is I'm going to show you, using principles from the Bible, how to climb out of debt and how to live in financial freedom. And there are principles that Kathy and I have used through the years. And God has blessed us and met our needs. We've not become wealthy or anything like that. But God has taken care of us. I was a youth minister for 20 years. And then you don't get rich planting a church either in those early years. God always took care of us. It's amazing how he made cars last longer. God's met all of our needs. And so I want to show you those principles that we've applied. We haven't been perfect with it. We've made some big mistakes before. So, you know, not as I've always done. I'll tell you what I've done wrong, okay? Just so you don't, you know. But those have been teaching times and helped us to get better at what we did. So I'm going to show you those things. But I want to make an important distinction between getting out of debt and being financially free. You can have no debt and still be a slave to money, a slave to possessions. Because I've known people who had plenty of money, had no debt, and yet they were always worried about what they had, preserving what they had. They just could not live at peace because they were so concerned. The more they had, the more weighted down they were. And that's not a good way to live either. To be really free and in charge of what we have, we need to change our thinking and remember what I pointed out earlier, that what we have is from God. We're managers. We're not owners, okay? And when you embrace that truth, it will not only make you happy, it also, I think, makes God happy. Notice how Jesus described the owner who entrusted these bags that go to these men. He said, come share your master's happiness. God was happy that they had made the most of what they had. And unfortunately, not everyone views themselves as God's steward or God's asset manager. Look what happens in the story when the attention shifts to the man who is entrusted with only one talent, okay? Verse 24. Then the man who'd received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man. Well, that's a great way to greet your master when he comes back. I know you're a hard man. Harvesting where you've not sown and gathering what you have not where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. This guy probably went, dug the hole, put the gold in there, and then never thought about his master again. He was just off his radar. There was nothing about his life that was concerned about his master, pleasing his master, doing what his master said to do. He just like, okay, that's taken care of, and I'm good to go. And I'm not going to worry about it or be concerned about that. And I think that describes some of us spiritually. We're not really concerned about what God wants. We're not concerned about what God's given us to do. We're just kind of, we'll do our thing. And whatever God's given me, I'll put that in a hole and save it for the future when I'm supposed to give account. Look at what the master said. Verse 26, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Now, make note of this. This servant did not waste his master's money. Okay? He didn't spend it unwisely. He didn't waste the money. He wasted the opportunity that he was given to share in his master's happiness. He wasted the opportunity when he hid it, or perhaps when he hoarded it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with the master. It's obvious. And perhaps he thought, you know, why would I care about him? He's loaded. Why do I want to make any more money for him? Why would I care about that? Or maybe he was just so afraid of the master. It just never occurred to him to put money in the bank. He just lived in fear. I hope you don't live in fear of God in that kind of way that he's unfair to you. That's a terrible way to live. But when the master entrusted the bags of gold with these men, listen, he didn't expect them to protect it. He expected them to do something productive with it. And the things God has given you, he's not giving them to you to protect so much as to produce, to do something good with your life, to do something good with your gifts, but definitely to do something good with the finances that you have received. Folks, we're wealthy compared to most of the world and compared to most people throughout history. God wants us to do something positive for this kingdom with what he's given us. God expects us to be productive with the wealth and the possessions he's entrusted to us. And really, if you think about it, if he's the owner and we're the net receivers, not the givers, the risk is on him. It's his money. It's his money. Jesus promised in his famous Sermon on the Mount, it was his first really big public sermon before lots and lots of people, he promised that if we would trust him, he would take care of us. And you can ask people here who've been following Jesus a long time, not just me, has God taken care of you? Yes. Have you had some financial setbacks? Yes. Has he taken care of you? Yes. The Bible is full of promises like that. Of promises, if we will trust God, he will take care of us. Not promises of wealth and health, that you'll always have lots of more money and you'll never be sick. No, not like that. Just promises of care, to take care of us, to give us what we need. Along with those promises, though, and we see this in this parable, this story, come warnings. Warnings about not trusting God's goodness, not trusting God's provision, not caring about that, ignoring that. The parable ends badly for the third servant. Look at verse 14. This is what the master said to the servant who just went and hid the money, hoarded it, didn't, you know, protected it, but didn't do anything with it. He looked and looked at his other servants. He said, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there's a lot more to that part, but to keep this on the subject of the money part of it, is nobody wants that outcome. We don't want that outcome. I think we all want to be more like the first two servants, to make the most of what we've been given. So back to my belief that I've seen confirmed over and over again, I believe most people want to be generous. And I have just been amazed at the generosity of this church throughout the years. A thought occurred to me as I was reading this parable that there may be another reason. I'm not certain of this, but it's just something that I'm thinking. I know this is an inerrant, infallible Bible, my preaching of it is not always inerrant and infallible, okay? I can be wrong on some things. But it just occurred to me that maybe another reason God wants us to see ourselves as managers and not owners is, I don't know, have you ever noticed how it's easier to be free and giving with other people's money? It's easier to be free and give away other people's money than your own. Like, oh, you can do this. My dad's got a lot of money. My mom's got a lot of money. I'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. It's like, you know, we're using God's money. I'm convinced that God created this concept of money. He created this concept of money to teach us how to obey and how to trust him. Why else would there be more lines in the Bible about money, possession, wealth, and how to manage it than there are about just about any other subject, especially in the New Testament and in Jesus' parables? So much of the Bible talks about why. I believe because God wants us to trust him. And money and possession serves as a good test of how we're doing. So here's the takeaway for today. Here's all I want you to come away from today with is I want you to make this change. Change is hard, but I want you to make this change. Change what you think about ownership. Now, I know that's a struggle for some of you. You're thinking, man, I work hard for what I've got. No, this is mine. Nobody gave it to me. Take that up with God. I want you, if you really want to trust and follow God, then you'll trust what he has told us in his word. It all comes from him, and he's given it to us to make the most of. If you will grasp this concept that your money and your possessions belong to God, and you are his asset manager to help advance the kingdom of God, there's purpose to that, to help advance the kingdom of God, I promise you, you will grow spiritually over these next few weeks. And we'll have all we need to support those churches up in the Seattle area, in Northwest Houston, and sustain this one and keep this one on mission. I can promise you that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you've given us. Thank you for what you've given this church. Lord, we're grateful. Lord, we've seen so many changed lives, so many people step out of darkness into light, so many people overcome addictions to all kinds of crazy things, so many people who had no hope discovered hope in you because you inspired a church to establish this church. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, help us to see ourselves as managers and help us to learn to make the most of it. Guide us, Father, as we move forward in this thinking and help us to be a blessing so we can bless other people. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.